You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Today is Friday, June 25th. We'll tell you about a deadly collapse of a Florida high-rise and what's being done to help. Also, the former cop convicted of killing George Floyd is getting his sentence today, what you can expect from the hearing. Plus, a bipartisan deal to update the nation's roads, utilities, internet, and more. An urgent call for blood donors, and where to see some of the biggest pride celebrations this weekend. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in about 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. You ready? Let's do this. Unfortunately, we start today with a tragedy out of Florida. Part of a 12-story beachfront condo building collapsed just outside of Miami. At least one person was killed and many more were trapped inside. Dozens of survivors were pulled from the wreckage yesterday, and now rescue crews are desperately searching for dozens more. As of this morning, nearly 100 people are still missing. Crews are using dogs, listening devices, and cameras in hopes of finding survivors. The building came down at around 1:30 yesterday morning. People who made it out told the Miami Herald they heard big booms that sounded like there was a thunderstorm outside. But when they walked out, they saw the heap of rubble. The Surfside, Florida mayor says about 55 units came down, and they were mostly full of people. Television footage shows beds, tables, and chairs still inside. Florida's governor toured the disaster site yesterday and said even the images on TV don't capture the scale of what happened. He declared a state of emergency to help get resources to the area and assistance to the people affected. President Biden also says federal resources are ready. So far, local authorities say it's too soon to know what caused the 40-year-old building to crumble. Work was being done on the roof, and building inspectors had visited the tower recently to look into recertifying it. But it's not clear if any of that had to do with the collapse. Local police, along with state and federal officials, are promising to investigate. For now, though, officials say it could take days or even a week to search the building. Nearby buildings and hotels have been evacuated. The former police officer who was convicted of killing George Floyd is set to be sentenced today. Prosecutors are pushing for 30 years in prison, but his defense team is asking for probation. Remember, Chauvin was found guilty back in April, nearly a year after video seen around the world showed him kneeling on Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes as Floyd pleaded with officers and said he couldn't breathe. Floyd died that day. Today, Floyd's family and friends will get the chance to speak about how they've been impacted by all of this. Chauvin could also share a statement, although legal experts say that's not likely. Then it will be up to a judge to sentence Chauvin. As you know, this case set off a wave of protest over racial injustices and police brutality last summer. Well, since then, thousands of police officers have left their jobs nationwide. A new survey found from April 2020 to April of 2021, officer retirements were up by 45%, and resignations were up almost 20% compared to the same time period 1 year earlier. This is all happening while many cities are dealing with a rise in shootings and murders. So why are so many cops quitting now? Well, the survey found a lot of it has to do with anti-police sentiment, but also because of low pay and because many officers say they're asked to handle too much. They say they're ill-equipped to handle many situations, and then they get blamed when things go wrong. Some say they lost their professional pride. Members of Congress are hoping nationwide police reform might help. Just yesterday, a bipartisan group of lawmakers announced they had reached an agreement on the framework of new legislation. But so far, they haven't given any details about it, and they say there's more work to be done on the final bill. To be continued. President Biden, along with a group of both Democratic and Republican senators, reached a compromise on infrastructure this week. They agreed to a roughly $1 trillion package to be spent over 5 years. It includes new spending on roads, internet, electric utilities, and other projects. But unlike the original proposal President Biden has been pushing for, this one doesn't include any new taxes on wealthy Americans or corporations. The White House says the money will instead come from some unspent COVID-19 relief funds. Plus, the IRS is supposed to bring in new money by cracking down on people who have been avoiding taxes. To be clear, there's still a long ways to go before this package can become law. It will still have to pass the House and the Senate. And already, Democrats say it can only move forward if a larger bill advances as well. That one would include some other economic priorities President Biden has laid out, like spending on education, healthcare, and anti-poverty efforts. And it would almost certainly require some tax increases. So it might be hard to get more Republicans on board, too, since many of them are against spending too much and raising taxes. They say that would hurt the economy as a whole. Bottom line, as negotiators put it this week, until it's signed by the president, anything can happen. The state of New York is punishing a former New York City mayor who was also a top federal prosecutor and later became former President Trump's personal lawyer. Rudy Giuliani is no longer allowed to practice law in the state of New York. His license was suspended this week over his claims of election fraud. A court found Giuliani made, quote, false and misleading statements to courts, lawmakers, and the public, and that it was all done to prove the election was stolen from former President Trump. The suspension might not be permanent, though. Giuliani can challenge the decision at a future hearing. So far, he hasn't commented on the decision, but he's been retweeting posts that criticize it. By the way, it seems his former client is ready to start a comeback tour. Tomorrow, former President Trump is hosting his first big campaign-style rally since leaving the White House. He's going to be in Ohio to campaign for a Republican who's running for a spot in next year's midterm election. And Trump says he'll keep promoting his America First policy agenda. Already, some people are camping outside the venue in hopes of getting a good spot for his speech. More news is just ahead, but first, here's your main host, Erica Mandy, with a word about today's sponsor, BetterHelp.
If you have that nagging feeling that something is off or that something is stopping you from being your happiest self, please know you're not alone, and it doesn't have to be that way. Whether it's the pandemic, work stress, family conflict, trauma, or anything else that's interfering with your life, BetterHelp can assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. They have counselors who are specialized in a wide variety of areas, and everything you tell them stays completely confidential. You always connect in a safe and private online environment, and it's convenient and easy. You can send a message to your counselor anytime from the comfort of your own home. Plus, schedule weekly video or phone sessions if you want. It's also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a Newsworthy listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy.
Hospitals across the country are running extremely low on blood. The American Red Cross is warning about a severe shortage nationwide. Apparently, blood is in high demand right now for a few reasons. First, more patients than usual are showing up in emergency rooms and trauma centers. And people who delayed elective procedures over the past year are deciding to get them now. There are also fewer donors. Schools and businesses haven't held their typical blood drives in more than a year because of the pandemic. The Red Cross has tried to put on community drives to make up the difference, but it still says fewer people are turning out to donate. The Red Cross likes to keep about 4 or 5 days' worth of blood supplies on hand at all times, but in recent weeks, it's had less than half a day's worth of blood on hand. The shortage means hospitals may be forced to delay necessary procedures if they don't have enough blood to safely operate. If you want to donate, we added a link in our show notes where you can find a blood drive or donation center near you. One of the largest labor unions in the U.S. has its sights set on Amazon. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters voted this week to support and fund Amazon employees in their unionization efforts. The Teamsters represent more than 1 million workers in North America, including delivery drivers and warehouse workers. Now, the Teamsters plan to target Amazon in a national campaign. So far, Amazon has not commented on the Teamsters' resolution, but in the past, Amazon has stressed that its employees don't need a union. It says the company already offers higher hourly wages and the type of benefits unions would typically push for. The Teamsters disagree, though, saying Amazon workers need safer and better working conditions. Later this year, Microsoft Windows will look a lot different and will include a lot of new features. Microsoft unveiled the latest version of its operating system this week. With Windows 11, users can expect a redesigned home screen. For example, the Start menu will be moved to the middle of the screen, and the video conferencing app, Teams, will automatically show up in the taskbar. Also, video games are getting enhanced graphics thanks to a feature that's already used on Xbox consoles. There will be a new Microsoft Store for apps, and Android apps will be compatible with Microsoft System. On top of all that, Microsoft also says Windows 11 will run about 40% faster than the current system, and will all be a free update for anyone who already has Windows 10 on their computers. That's a lot of people. CNBC says Windows 10 is the world's most popular PC operating system, and more than 1.3 billion devices use it. Windows 11 is expected to be out by the holidays. It's the final weekend of Pride Month, and that means 3 days of celebrating the LGBTQ community all around the country. Some of the biggest parties, festivals, street fairs, and marches are happening in New York City. However, the city-run Pride March, which is usually the nation's largest, will be virtual again this year. The theme of this year's celebration is The Fight Continues. Organizers said the theme is about highlighting all of the work that still needs to be done in the United States, like ending the pandemic and protecting the LGBTQ community's legal rights. Other Pride events are happening this weekend in places like San Francisco, Seattle, Denver, and Chicago. That's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, where we bring you one extra feel-good or positive news story before the weekend. Today, we're highlighting a Wisconsin woman who made it her mission to improve people's lives all over the world. Margaret Jankowski started the Sewing Machine Project 16 years ago after she saw a story about a woman in Southeast Asia who lost her own sewing machine during a devastating tsunami. The woman had saved for years to buy the machine and then used it to earn a living as a tailor until she couldn't anymore. Jankowski was touched by the woman's story, so she started asking people in her community to donate sewing machines they weren't using anymore. And she soon shipped the first boxes to Sri Lanka and India. From there, the Sewing Machine Project was born. Over the last 16 years, Jankowski's organization has donated more than 3,300 sewing machines around the world. Jankowski says the machines help many people, especially women, earn a living. And even better than that, she says they help people get hope back when they've lost it by making things themselves. And that's your Feel Good Friday. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with our special edition Saturday episode tomorrow. Then we'll have your next news roundup on Monday. Until then, have a great day.